Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to bless us today with understanding and to rejoice with your great promises, Lord, for your people who serve you. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Okay, I'm going to take up where we left off last time with part two of Bride Rewarded, Factious and Apostates Judged. And this first revelation was given to Sandy Shaw March 13th of this 2019. And we called it God's Provision for and Through the Bride. And Don and Marlene transcribed this for them. So I'm going to share it. In this dream, we are outside a store which carries bulk items. Something like Costco or Sam's or something like that. And there is Sue G, Sue F, Deb F, Debbie B, Amber, Vanessa, Merlene, Judy, Eve, and then myself, Sandy. And I said, okay, I have the list. We need 5 cases of salt, 1 case of baking powder, 1 case of soda, 100 pounds of pinto beans, 100 pounds of black-eyed peas, 100 pounds of black beans, 100 pounds of lentils, 1,200 pounds of regular flour, not baking. Then Marlene said, now we can forget the yeast. I said, no, we can't. I said, no unleavened bread. Okay, so of course, we know that unleavened bread is a parable of the unchanged Word of God. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus said, we don't want anything changed by the religious leaders or the government, right? And of course, unleavened means it cannot be added to suit the tastes of man, right? But this dream is about the greater works of multiplying physical provisions. Not that the story itself will physically be fulfilled, but the principle here is going to be fulfilled, right? So then Eve said, this is a very peculiar list. Yeah, Eve got 5 quarters and cast lots, and we got 5 heads. We all went into the store. And the rest of the list was butter, Ziploc bags, Ziploc plastic containers, camping utensils to eat with, and 14 backpacks. 14 backpacks. Going into the wilderness there, huh? Where miracles are going to happen. You know, when they did go into the wilderness, great miracles happened of provision for God's people. Right. And all of a sudden, we were in a huge industrial kitchen, and we were all making tortillas. There were 3 big burner gas stoves with 2 huge pots on each, where we were cooking all the beans. And as we were finishing, we put 12 tortillas in a Ziploc. In the containers, we put black-eyed peas, another container with lentils, and another with black and pinto beans. We put 3 containers into a backpack with tortillas and utensils. Now, we knew that the men had left and the women started to clean the kitchen when Lexi came running in. She said, Sandy, there's a bunch of people here. And they're so hungry. So then I said, okay, ladies, let's make another batch. And that's when I woke up. And by the way, I had my leg back. And, you know, some of y'all may not know that. Sandy lost her leg years ago, and the Lord's promised to give it back to her. So at this point, you know, at this time of gathering provisions, she got her leg back. And she said, our provisions never went down. So they kept on feeding people, and the provisions continued. So this was a place of miracles, and mighty miracles. And by the way, Tayamba just told us yesterday that she had a dream where we were all in a larger room. You remember me sharing with you about the larger room and what it represented, right? We were all in this larger room, which I spoke about in part one, and was a reward to the bride, by the way. And there she saw Sandy's leg and foot grow out very quickly. So these were not connected. I don't think they knew. I know that Tayambi didn't know I was going to share this dream here because I've been waiting for the particularly right spot that the Lord wants it to be shared in. I know she didn't know that, so it's pretty interesting how the Lord loves to confirm things. And then Sandy said that I received all these verses by faith at random for this dream. And quite a confirmation they are. Pretty amazing for anybody that doesn't believe you can do this. Well, the problem is unbelief. But, you know, when we ask wisdom from God, he gives it, he says, you know, if we're not double-minded. And he is totally sovereign over the lot all through the Bible. So people that believe he's sovereign can believe him to do such things. But you'll notice the things that were gathered are mentioned in each one of these verses. Pretty neat. Romans 4:9. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. So, of course, faith is something that epitomizes the new covenant, which is overwhelmingly the uncircumcised. And so you can notice here in this text that the provision of multiplication of food was given to the circumcision, and many thought it passed away at that time in their doctrine. But no, it is for the church today, right? The uncircumcised today. And God did this for me for many years. In my wilderness, I saw him multiply money. Even up until recently, I've seen him multiply money. Put it in places in some cases where I didn't even know that I knew there was no money. I remember one time I asked the Lord, just very simply, Lord, we need some more money. And I went to get something out of a drawer for a brother here. When I opened the drawer, there was sitting right on top of everything, $8,500. And a little while after that, I asked the Lord again. And he said, go and shove your hand under your mattress. I said, Lord, there's no money under my mattress. Go and shove your hand under your mattress. I shoved my hand under my mattress, and guess what was in my hand? He didn't even tell me where to shove it. I just shoved it under there, and guess what was in my hand? $8,500. And so I've had the Lord do that with me for many years with food. You know, when we were getting low on food, we just blessed the pot, stuck it in the refrigerator, pulled it out, and it was full again. you know, or even multiplied it in our stomachs. I've been receiving this. And the Lord told me I was going into the wilderness so I could tell his people that he still provided there. And so that's where the wilderness is. It's when you're weak, but God is strong, and his provision is there for you. You know, he's promised to supply your every need according to his riches and glory. What we have to do is just believe him, right? So anyway, that first text was, that's what stuck out to me very clear in that first text there. Then there was Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt was one of those things that was provided, right? That you may know how you ought to answer each other. So the salt was multiplied, right? And then Genesis 18 and 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quick 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. What's the chances of that, right? 2 Samuel 17 and 28. Brought beds and basins and earthen vessels. And, of course, they had vessels in the big kitchen to cook things in. And wheat and barley and meal and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched pulse. Okay. And 2 Samuel 23:11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, a Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the plot and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. So, you know, the devil wants to take away your provision, doesn't he? It didn't happen that time. By faith, a man stood, and it wasn't robbed, it wasn't plundered. Ezekiel 4:9. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, even 390 days thou shalt eat thereof. So there it is, provision. All of these confirmations to this dream. So we should pay attention, because multiplying food is something that is going to be common in the times ahead. When you're going into tribulation and, you know, you're not fed out of Egypt anymore. You're going out into the wilderness, you know, because you maybe at least in the second 3.5 years, you won't be able to buy and sell and all these things. Anyway, people are going into the wilderness at the beginning of the tribulation period, and they're going there willingly. And they're not being forced out with Pharaoh's army behind them, right? So how do you do that? Well, you walk by faith in God. The provision in the wilderness came out of heaven. They ran out of the provision that they brought from Egypt, and it came out of heaven. And the Lord multiplied it. Many times he multiplied it. So getting to see miracles is one thing that I believe is going to be common in the days ahead. And part of the reward given to the bride, you remember, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and that was those first disciples who followed Jesus that John was speaking about there. And so we're looking forward to the same thing, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, right? Amen. So let's look a little bit at this judgment of the wicked and the great reward and provision for the bride. Remember, before Israel left Egypt, They were given a great amount of gold and silver, which was their money, by the way, by the Egyptians as a provision from God. It came through the Egyptians. Exodus 11, 2 and 3 says, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Can you do that today? Absolutely. Will it happen? Yep, absolutely. Things that have been are the things that shall be. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. Okay, the man child, of course, represented by Moses here, is going to be great. In the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So remember now that this was before the Passover judgment, which came upon the wicked, right? Which was before the Red Sea judgment of their persecutors who chased them. And all of that was before the wilderness tribulation. So I know some people are saying and think, and possibly so, that the tribulation isn't for another year or two. Possibly so. What is this that's happening after we've been getting revelations about the Red Sea? What is this happening out there? Is it the fulfillment of it? Not quite, but we're about to see the end of it, the fulfillment of it, you know. And, of course, that's coming before the wilderness tribulation. You also have to have this Passover, and to have the Passover, you have to eat the unleavened bread. Remember that. Exodus 12. And if you didn't eat the unleavened bread, you didn't have a Passover. And judgment came upon them to separate them from the people of God. People have to make up their mind that we want the Word of God and it only. Right? So that's how they had a Passover. But the wicked did not. And the wicked were judged. And so it will be. And so it has been too, by the way. We've watched the wicked being judged constantly. They don't understand. It's not the normal Christian life. Okay, so let's look at this text here. Isaiah 62, 11. I'm going to go at first through 3. Oh, excuse me, or 63 and 3. I'm going from Isaiah 62, 11 through Isaiah 63, 3. "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion." In other words, the daughter of Zion would be the daughter in our day of original Zion, which was the type and the shadow, right? And, of course, we know what John said about Zion or Jerusalem, that it was the bride. It was shown to him as the bride coming down out of heaven. People think it's a building. Well, no, the building actually represents the bride. And it's coming down out of heaven because we're born again from above. Sad to say, most people are not continuing their born again from above regeneration. Because the word that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world is Jesus Christ and his word. And we put that word in us. We renew our mind through the word, and that's how we're transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this regeneration is not just a one-time thing, like a lot of the dead church says, and that's the reason they're dead. It's because they're not continuing to grow into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the sower in the parable of the sower, who sowed the seed, which brought forth the fruit of 30, 60, and 100 in the hearts of the people. So, "Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him." And that reward is for the bride. Notice he said it's to the daughter of Zion. "And his recompense before him," and his recompense, remember, was for the Edomites. those who sold their birthright because they hated their brother. Okay? And they shall call them the holy people. That is the bride, the holy people. You know, there's an awful lot of God's people who are not holy. Holy means separate, sanctified. Okay? They're not holy. And of course, partaking of the Word of God is what makes us holy. Not just thinking about it and reading it, but walking in it. You know, that's what makes us holy. And we're also justified by faith, because you don't know much when you first start down this road, that highway of holiness. You have to follow that highway of holiness all the way to what? Jerusalem, which is the bride. The redeemed of the Lord, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. When was the city of Zion or the bride position forsaken? When they fell away and they were taken into captivity to the beast. And now that they are beginning, the first fruits are beginning to come back, they're prepared to build the temple and the city again. That's what you got to build it with. You build it with the Word of God. This makes the people into manifesting Jesus Christ, right? Zion, the city here is Zion the bride. 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It's the Lord. And he's coming from Edom because of what we just got through saying, and that is that his reward is with him, but his recompense is before him. So before he gave the bride her reward, he judged Edom, who persecuted their brother, and they do today too, with dyed garments from Bozrah. That's the Edomite sheepfold. He went to the Edomite sheepfold to judge the Edomites. This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath. Their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. God is angry. God is angry at this time. He's angry with the wicked who have persecuted his people, lied about his people, stolen from his people, attempted to invade his people with their idolatries and with their fornications and things like that. And we'll find out what the Lord does with these people. Well, then we see the judgment of the wicked at the Red Sea. Remember, there was a judgment in Egypt, and then there was a judgment at the Red Sea. And at that time, he delivered the righteous in the same chapter that we've been speaking about. And it is still just before the wilderness tribulation. In other words, all of this is before the tribulation. Keep that in mind. And it was before they went into the wilderness, which was the tribulation. So keep that in mind. These things are happening now. Some people say it's the tribulation. No, it's wrong. They're wrong. It's not. It hasn't started yet. We'll know when it starts. Okay. But it hadn't started yet. We know from the signs that happened when Jesus went into the wilderness and the signs that happened when the Israelites went into the wilderness, which the New Testament in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 17 says is the tribulation. The wilderness is the tribulation. Okay, so keep in mind that all of this that we're talking about here is before the tribulation. So you say, well, the tribulation's not going to come for a year or two. Well, that's possibly so. But this is going to come before then. Okay. Isaiah 63, 11 and 12. So we're just keeping on with the context here, following the context down. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he? What does he mean? Remembered the days of old. He brought them back. See, the days of old are repeated. The things that have been are the things that shall be. So this is a sign that God is bringing back these days of old, right? He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? So that's the Red Sea he's speaking about. And it's before the wilderness too. So where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Amen, because that's what happened, you know, when they came up out of the Red Sea, as they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the cloud and in the sea, right? That caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses. Who is the arm of the Lord? Yes, Jesus. Isaiah 53. That divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. Yes, even the pagans woke up and they spoke about it. And they feared the Israelites because of what God did there at the Red Sea. They knew about it. That led them through the depths of the Red Sea, which is before the wilderness tribulation. And then the last phrase here is, as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not. All right, they came through the Red Sea. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they went into the wilderness. And, of course, you need the Holy Spirit to walk in the wilderness. Very few people can walk there without the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. Right? And, by the way, the overwhelming majority of God's people have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they don't even believe in it. They don't believe in the gifts. They've turned all that down. That's all for the apostles that all passed away, even though they can't show you one verse that says such a thing. So that's just their idolatry and their foolishness of their leaders who can't give away what they don't have. They're not filled with the Spirit, so they're not going to make sure. They're going to make sure nobody else gets filled with the Spirit. You know, talk against tongues and gifts that do come with the Holy Spirit, prophecy, they talk against that. They're Antichrist. So, before the wilderness tribulation. Notice that this judgment on the wicked before the wilderness tribulation is spoken about at the beginning of the next chapter too. When the presence of the Lord comes as an outpouring. In Hosea 6, 1 through 3, remember how he said he was going to come again. As an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the morning of the third day. So now we see at the beginning of the next chapter, the presence of the Lord comes as an outpouring of his Spirit, where also the Israelites were baptized in the glory cloud. That's what that cloud was. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, the glory cloud, same one that was in the temple. It was the glory cloud of the Holy Spirit. I've seen the glory cloud before, many years ago. And it was before the wilderness tribulation. Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. As when fire kindled the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. There you go. This is what the Lord's going to do. He's going to bring judgment, a Red Sea judgment, that's going to make his name known to the adversaries. So that the nations may tremble at my presence. And they did. And they will. And when thou didst terrible things, which we look not for, thou camest down, and the mountains quaked at thy presence. How many times have you heard us talk about this shaking that's coming? Amen. And what's going to help the world become a wilderness so that you can't depend on Uncle Scam? I would say the shaking is part of that. Okay, it's part of that. And, of course, we have the deep state that's seeking to make war, covert war. They've been doing it against the people of God and against America. They're destroying the crops with their weather warfare, and they're preparing an invasion from the south and preparing an invasion from the north and preparing the deep state to do lots of dirty tricks. But anyway, they're going to lose. We already know it. So we see that the reward of the bride is given before the tribulation, but it will also continue through the tribulation. So let's look at that reward for just a minute, okay? Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord, there it is risen upon thee. There it is, what we just spoke about. Here we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the glory cloud, which, as we saw, was just before the tribulation, the wilderness, right? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Boy, we can see that, can't we? My goodness, we've never seen it in any other day. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Well, some people can see that glory. I've experienced that. Some people can see that glory, and some just can't. You know, they didn't know Jesus, the Pharisees, God's people. They didn't know Jesus when he was standing in front of them. Isn't that amazing? You think that those same rebellious, self-willed, religious-spirited people will see him today? No. No, they won't. But his glory shall be seen. Egypt, as a type of the world, is very dark from judgment, but the bride has the glory of the Lord on her. And the peoples of the nations are gathering under the bride, who was the Zion or Jerusalem leadership of God's people all through the Old Testament, right? Under the David man-child company, symbolized by those leaders, those righteous leaders who led God's people rightly through Jerusalem. Jerusalem was their capital city. That's where all of the leaders of the tribes gathered to be close to the ultimate leadership, the king, and to represent their peoples, right? And verse 3, and the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, mighty miracles are coming. And people are going to be converted because both their resistance against the righteous comes to naught and a failure, and the victory is given to God's people. That's one reason is that some people, I think, are going to get converted. And as we saw, the heathen out there, they saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh's army, those wicked people who wanted to bring God's people into bondage, which we see right now in the faction, you know. He said, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Thy sons. Why, how could they be the sons of these people? Because we're not talking about physical genealogy here. We're talking about the seed of the word of God being spread. Okay. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The sea representing the peoples in the book of Revelations, the peoples, tribes, and tongues in the book in Revelation. And out of that is going to come this radiant bunch of people. They're spread out among them. They're not all in one church, contrary to what people say, but they're spread out among them. but they're going to come together. The wealth of the nation shall come unto thee. Well, now we understand that this wealth is coming to the bride. It's all through the Bible, and we'll see it here too. Notice that the wealth coming to the bride to provide for the woman in the wilderness. That's what it's all about. And the woman coming out of the nations too, you know. Okay, so. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and frankincense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So they're going to gather around the bride. Once again, they're coming out of the nations, just like it was in the Bible, out of bondage to the nations and coming to submit to the bride, Jerusalem. This is the Jerusalem that was being rebuilt after the apostate leadership had it destroyed because they were conquered by the beast, right? 9-14. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them. So again, God's bringing provision to take care of his people. Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness, the little boy that had the fishes and the loaves, you know, they brought what they had. God multiplied it, right? For the name of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee. But that's a crucifixion of the bride right there. He used the wicked to do that. Just like he used the wicked to crucify Jesus. It's always his method. He's not going to change it. But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Thy gates also shall be open continually. That's for the people to come into the bride, right? They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations. There it is again. And their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom which will not serve thee, talking to the bride, shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Well, it was that way, you know, in the Old Testament too, in places. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. So they brought the building blocks for the sanctuary, right? Who is that? Yes, that's right. It's the people of God. If you read the Shepherd of Hermas, you'd enjoy how the Lord gave him a revelation of the creation of the building blocks of the temple, right? How they were holy. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee. That's the people who have brought crucifixion to the bride, slandered the bride, persecuted the bride, tried to take away their word, tried to infect them with demons and all these kind of things. The war that's against the bride. And all they that despise thee, that's them, shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the city, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And remember, John was told that this was the born from above bride that came down out of heaven in the book of Revelation, right? So, I mean, they don't know. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives. They don't know that this is what this is. They don't understand, you know, the reward that's coming to a faithful people because of God's grace working in them because they have faith in him. Right? And continue on with 15 through 18. And whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, and this is true, this has happened, the bride's crucifixion by the wicked who forsake her, which has happened, right? Notice it says, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated. The people who forsook her hated her. That's your Edomites right there. So that no man passes through thee. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck of the milk of the nations. Thou shalt suck the breasts of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold. Turning brass into gold, I mean, that's pretty good blessing, a mighty blessing. And for iron I will bring silver. For wood, brass. In other words, the value of their currency was multiplied. And for stones, iron. And I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Yes, sir, you've probably heard the revelations that we've been given about the slaughter that the wicked are doing among God's people, separating them from the body, separating their limbs. In other words, they were disjointed from the body, cut off. Because of slander. God calls it murder. And in the spirit realm, that's what it is. It's a slaughter. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, desolation nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. Then Father regresses just a little bit to speak about the leadership of the bride, who is the man-child ministry, and the bride's reward. First, Jesus, who quoted this text we're talking about, Isaiah 61, at the beginning of his ministry. And now the repeat of history with the corporate body man-child in whom he lives by his spirit and his word. So this is a repeat. And this is repeating in our day. Matter of fact, the last part of verse 3 wasn't fulfilled in Jesus' day. It's going to be fulfilled in our day. Isaiah 61, 1 through 9, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, Jesus' first sermon, right? If you want to call it that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. What this reminds you of Ezekiel's revelation about those that mourned over the sins, had a mark. The mark of God, and it protected them against the slaughter. Right? Them that mourn in Zion. Why do they mourn in Zion? Because they just came out of the chapter that was just before this, which is a persecution by the Edomites against the bride. So history is repeating. Okay. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland for those ashes, right? What is ashes? The ashes of purification, right? Garland for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, right? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Yes, these trees of righteousness have been persecuted by their own brethren, much like it was with Jesus and the disciples. You know, much like history just repeats, right? That he may be glorified. And they shall build, that is, these people who have been crucified and glorified, They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. What is this talking about? It's talking about those people that come back to Zion from Babylonish captivity or beastly captivity, from whence their forefathers went because of apostasy, because the Lord raised up a beast against them. In fact, he raised up a bunch of beasts against them. So these people who are returning to Zion to build the city and the temple are raising up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Yes, amen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. So obviously things that they had to do were passed on to people, others, because they had more important things to do. I want to tell you something about the tribulation, folks. If you're in the bride, you have more important things to do than try to just make a living, eke out a living. That's not going to be your job. As we read on, you'll see that. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations. Well, there it is again. God is going to give great provision to the bride to do the work of the kingdom and build up those former desolations, right? And their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, which is what they got at the mouth of the Edomites, who sold their birthright for it, instead of your shame, you shall have double. Instead of dishonor, you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. So the great provision is coming to the people of God when they're back in their land. Being out of your land and being in the land of the Babylonians, for instance, means that you're not standing upon the word of God, the promised land, right? They shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Yes, hallelujah. Many people are going to find that the Lord is going to supply richly so that they can be about the work of the kingdom. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery with iniquity. That speaks very clearly of what the Edomites did, right? Those who persecuted the bride. And I will give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. God's going to pay back the bride for all that she has gone through. And he's got an eternal covenant for the bride. And the wicked don't have that covenant, no matter how much they call themselves Christians. They don't have that covenant. And their seed shall be known among the nations. Yes, the bride and their seed are going to be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. So who is that seed? Well, we can see here it's the seed of the bride coming out of the nations and coming back to her, right? I'll just depart for just a little bit, and then we'll come back to this text, okay? Hebrews 11 and 13, who is that seed? So these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Shall he find faith on the earth is the question when he returns, right? But having seen them and greeting them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, do you confess that? Are you just passing through, or is this what's important to you? I mean, do you cry about going to heaven? Are you worried about dying? You know, heaven ain't bad, you know, I always say. Jesus called it entering into life. He didn't call it entering into death. You know, you're entering into life. Well, they confessed that they're just strangers and pilgrims here. We're just passing through. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful, listen to this, if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Oh ho! So you know what? Of course, they went back to Egypt in their hearts, did they not? And what had happened to them? They died in the wilderness. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, Jerusalem. It's at the end of the highway of holiness. It's Jerusalem, the bride, who has all these privileges, you see. And by faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen, it was Isaac, it was not Ishmael. You want to know who the Ishmaels are? The same thing as the Edomites, those that persecuted their brother. They were rejected for that. Now, can any Ishmaelite become a seed of Abraham? Yes, by faith in the word of God. So we're talking about the seed of Abraham by faith and obedience, right? Yes, of course. Anybody from any nation can become, through repentance and faith, the seed of Abraham, the chosen seed of Abraham. That's what the New Testament's all about, and the greater covenant based on better promises. And 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, things that which eye saw not, ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. Oh, what does that mean? Well, according to Jesus, it means those that obey him. Those that keep my word, he said. No, not every Christian loves him. Those that do, obey him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So there you have, well, who is this seed that is blessed? Now you know who it is, right? And remember Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. So back to our text. Isaiah 61, I'm going to read 10 through 62:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth its bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. 62:1. For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, her salvation as the lamp that burneth. God's going to do this through grace, which comes to those who walk by faith. And I say walk by faith, okay? Not just claim they have faith with no works, right? And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem or crown in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. When was it desolate? Well, it was desolated when the former leadership led them into apostasy, and God led a beast against them to destroy them. No more term desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Okay, that's what Beulah means, right? For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. Thy sons, the manifested sons, marry thee. They're the ones that are going to sow the seed, right? And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, take ye no rest. So, I mean, those watchmen, the real watchmen, everybody's calling themselves a watchman nowadays, but these people are building up Zion, the bride. And they're seeking the Lord for grace for the bride. And give him no rest until he establisheth, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies. Yep, that bunch of thieves, they're all thieves. And foreigners shall not drink thy new wine for which thou hast labored. But they that have garnered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. The Lord has exhorted people. Be a part of this bride. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones, the stumbling blocks, right? They're being gathered out. Lift up an ensign for the peoples. Amen. I love this stuff. Thank you, Father. Father, bless your people today, Lord. Everyone who desires to be in this bride, let them seek to be holy. Seek to obey what they know and walk in the fruit of what they have believed in. Let it be, O Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. And, Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are going to raise up your bride in the front of all nations. Amen. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And Father, please bless Michael Hare and the brethren that are going to be listening to him here in just a little bit. Thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, good night, folks.